So good morning. My name is Barney, and I'm going to try not to beat this mic on the table like that anymore. So today we get to continue our devotional series about what we believe as a church. And if you want to get a full statement of what we believe, just go to our website, and go to the tabs at the top, and it's called What We Believe. Isn't that cool? So today we're going to focus on the fourth topic of what we believe and the document title, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. So this topic is so massive that we need to break this down into 3 weeks, and so two more besides mine I believe will be coming as a result. And each week being a segment of the overall topic. So today I'm going to break the topic today into two pieces. And the first one is the deity of the Holy Spirit, which means that he is a divine person. He's not an it. In the scripture, he's never depersonalized. He's never called it. He's always a term he in the scripture. He is truly God, the third divine person of the triune God, which is, just to refresh your memory, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So the second piece that we're going to talk about today about the Holy Spirit is his role in convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So first, I just want to read the first two or three sentences from the What We Believe document, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the Holy Spirit is a divine person possessing all the attributes of deity, and that, in essence, he is equally God. We believe that the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So let's jump right in. Topic of the Holy Spirit and what he does is, my goodness, there is a lot there. It's massive. And there's a lot to be learned about this. He gets blamed for things that he doesn't do, and he doesn't get credit for some of the things that he actually does. Now, I want to tell you that the Holy Spirit is not some weird ghost that makes people do strange things. That's not the Holy Spirit. The idea of him being a ghost primarily comes from the King James translation, which translated the Greek word pneuma, or spirit, into ghost. So there's nothing inherently wrong with that King James translation until we bring our 2024 idea of a ghost into the mix. So we then wrongly impose on him our modern view, and then he becomes the equivalent of a Halloween decoration, or the spirit of some, this is big, on the TV you see all these shows, the spirit of someone who died long ago and they just can't figure out where they're supposed to go. This is not the Holy Spirit of God. Neither of those things have any part of the Holy Spirit of God. So some think of the Holy Spirit as some kind of a force that they can't explain. He's not the force that is so important in Star Wars movie, although may the force be with you as well. That is not the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is probably the least understood person of the triune God. If the Holy Spirit is so misunderstood and hard to explain, then why does our church place so much emphasis on him? According to the Bible, if you don't have the Holy Spirit, you know what else you don't have? You don't have God. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have God. And you cannot have God without the Holy Spirit. So the first part of what we believe about him is that he is deity. He is he's one-third of what makes up the triune God. Our first biblical encounter with the Holy Spirit comes. Now, where do you think that would be found? Does anybody know where we first read about the Holy Spirit in the Scripture? It's on the first page. It's in Genesis. Our first encounter with the Holy Spirit comes in the second verse of Genesis 1. Now the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, And the Spirit of God, there he is, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the waters. And that's in Genesis 1, verse 2. So when you see the term Spirit of God in the Old Testament, it is talking about the Holy Spirit. Who was hovering over the water? The Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit. So in Genesis, before we ever meet Adam and Eve, before we ever learn a thing about Jesus, we're introduced to the Holy Spirit. So he was there and involved when the world was created. In Matthew 1, tells us that the Holy Spirit was the one who caused Mary to conceive. He was there at the baptism of Jesus. He was there on the day of Pentecost. When Jesus gave his followers the Great Commission, he told them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son, and guess who? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our counselor. He is the one who teaches us. He holds all the attributes of God, of the God of heaven. He holds all the attributes, and he is not a created being. Did you know that? He's not a created being. He is eternal. He has always existed. This is something that was interesting to me, because I believe that the Holy Spirit can be the voice of God to us, and he is a lot of times. We hold him as a church. We hold him in the same esteem as God the Father and God the Son. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have God. He's divine. The second function that we're going to talk about today, and this one's going to take a little bit longer to go through, but we'll talk about, is his role in convicting the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. So what in the world does that mean? We got to go to John 16. John 16, starting at verse 6, it says, "But because I have said things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. But I tell you the truth," and this is Jesus speaking, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I'll send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me," Jesus said. "And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged." So what in the world does all that mean? Okay, we see that Jesus promised to send the Holy Spirit, and he mentions those three areas of conviction that the Spirit is going to focus on. Those three areas: sin, righteousness, and judgment. In this context, we can easily see that when Jesus mentions the world in John 6, and the scripture, I'm sorry, John 16, that we just read from John 16, that he is talking about those who don't believe in him and haven't accepted him, talking about Jesus. In this case, the Holy Spirit does something that no amount of human pleading or reasoning can do on its own. He convicts the world of its sin. It's the Spirit's job to convict. Conviction of sin is above all of our pay grades. So should we proclaim and preach Jesus? Most certainly we should. Don't misunderstand. Proclaiming Jesus to a sinful world is absolutely needed and absolutely required of us. But it is the Spirit of God who brings everyone to a realization of who they are and where they stand as it relates to God. That's the Spirit of God's job. That's the Holy Spirit's job. Have you ever been in a situation where you've done something and you immediately knew it was wrong? Sometimes, if you're like me, sometimes we know it's wrong before we do it. And you know, we do it anyway. That knowledge that you have sinned, or that what you're about to do is wrong, comes from the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you may look at what you've done and say to yourself, yeah, you know what, I know I was wrong and I shouldn't have done that, but I'm not as bad as that guy. This is where the Spirit steps into the second aspect of his role of conviction of sin, of righteousness and judgment. This is where he steps into the righteousness piece. The Holy Spirit steps in and says, you're not judged on what your neighbor does, buddy. You're not judged on the guy that you think is worse than you. You're not judged on what he does. The way that the Holy Spirit will convict the world of righteousness is to point people back to the one who is righteous. Who is that one? That's Jesus. While Christ was in the world, he was the image of the Father. Now that Christ has ascended, the Holy Spirit takes up the role of pointing men and women to the image of the Father. So, who was the perfect image of the Father? It was Jesus. So the Spirit would convict the world of righteousness and point people to Jesus, the perfect righteous image of God. So the Holy Spirit will show you the only one that can make you righteous, and that's Jesus. That's part of the Holy Spirit's job in conviction of righteousness. John 3, 18 and 19 says this, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So we've just briefly talked about the Spirit's role in the conviction of sin and righteousness. He's going to point you to Jesus. So let's go into the last role of the Spirit, which is conviction of judgment. Now, what in the world does that mean? How is it that he's part of convicting in judgment? John 16:11 says that the Spirit will convict the world of judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged. Who is the ruler of this world? It's Satan. Satan, the enemy. Notice that the Scripture does not say that he will be judged. It says he has been judged. Did you know that? Did you know that the enemy has already been judged? When did that happen? It happened at the cross. Jesus was celebrating the Passover, and he comes riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. We're getting ready to go through all that. You know the story, right? Palm Sunday. And he's riding in on a donkey, and people are laying down these palm branches. Crowds are everywhere. Huge crowds are following. People were everywhere, and they wanted to talk to Jesus. And Jesus starts to predict for those that are standing around him to predict his death. There's a lot going on here. And Jesus prays, and guess what happens when Jesus prays? At this particular point, now I'm going somewhere with this, God speaks from heaven. I would encourage you to read all of John chapter 12, and it'll give you a way better understanding. But listen to what Jesus says to his disciples after they hear the voice of God. This is John 12, starting at verse 30. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of the world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this, the scripture says, to show the kind of death that he was going to die. So when did judgment for Satan, the ruler of this world, happen? It happened at the cross. The death of Jesus was not a victory for Satan. It was the means of his own condemnation. When men at the bidding of Satan were doing the most heinous, wicked thing ever done, God was gaining the greatest victory. When Jesus bowed his head and died, and Satan's kingdom was crushed. He became a condemned felon. The sentence of God was passed down. Judgment's over for him. He rules a condemned domain because of what Jesus did on the cross. The sentence will be carried out when he is cast into the lake of fire. Now, that hasn't happened yet, but it will be carried out. So back to the Holy Spirit. He convicts people of judgment. Our realization of the truth of judgment and understanding that judgment comes from the Holy Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit is come to convict the world of man's basic problem, and that's sin. It's of God's beautiful provision, and that's Christ's righteousness. And he has come to convict the world of judgment, of Satan's broken power. That Holy Spirit is here. He is the one that does all these things. Let's pray. Father, help us to be fully aware of the Holy Spirit as he works to bring us to a better understanding of how we can serve you better. Help us, Lord, to follow the leading of that Spirit, Lord, in all that we do, in everything, every part of our world, Lord. Father, we understand that this is just a tiny, tiny piece of what God's Spirit does, and we'll know more as we walk through this, but Father, help us to understand that today. In Jesus' name.